Good morning, everyone. And it is a good morning. It's a beautiful morning out there. And it is good to see you in here this morning. As you can see, we are celebrating communion this morning. It's been moved forward because the baptistry will be open next week. And we don't want anyone to fall in while the baptistry is open. But we will have four candidates who are intentionally going through the waters of baptism next week. So that's a really good service to bring anyone along to, and they will give their testimonies. So it will be good to see you all there again. As we come before God, let's also come before him and pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessing and your mercies. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, as we look upon the communion table, we thank you for the death and resurrection of your Son. And Lord, we cannot believe that we are a part of that. And Lord, that you save us from all of our sin. Father, as we worship you this morning, we pray that you would minister to those who need to realize that in their hearts as well as in their heads. And Father, that you would bring them into your kingdom. And Lord, we pray for a blessing from you this morning. Amen. Now, as we have got communion, I'm going to go very early and do the birthday box. So is there anyone here who has had any of the little ones who've had a birthday in the last few days or in the next few days? Anyone with a birthday? Oh, it's all gone very quiet. No. Okay, so if someone does come in and they look a bit confused and they've missed the birthday box, well, do feel free to come down at the end of the service. We wouldn't want you to go away without a gift from us. But we will move on. Let's read. It's just a couple of verses this morning from Acts 4. Two lovely verses to read. Acts 4, verses 11 and 12. And those verses say, "He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus is our salvation and our Lord. And let's praise him before we do come to communion. So if you're able, do stand and join with us. And this song asks that same question: who am I that the highest King would welcome me? So let's stand and sing.
Love for me, though his love.
And in response to that, I will praise you all my life. Those times that are perhaps tricky, what do we need to do? We need to lean hard, lean on the everlasting arms.
Lean on the everlasting arms. everlasting arms. Lean hard, lean hard, lean on the everlasting arms. Lean on the everlasting arms.
Are we going to go into communion?
To partake of communion, we're just going to sing a few lines of this song that's on my heart. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. Let's sing this as we prepare to partake together. Lord, I lift your name
on high.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
And I'm so glad that he came to save me.
I'm so glad he came to save us.
He came from heaven.
He came from heaven to earth.
To show
the way.
From the earth.
From the earth to the cross.
My debt to pay. From the cross,
To the grave,
and from the grave,
to the sky,
Lord,
I lift your name on high.
Oh, that sounds beautiful, church. Let's say it from the top, just one more time. Let's say, Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
I love to sing his praises.
Lord, I love to sing
hallelujah.
Your praises.
Are you glad he's in your life? I'm so glad.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so glad that he came to save us. I'm so glad. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross.
My debt to pay. From the cross,
from the cross to the grave,
from the grave,
from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I lift your name.
You came
from heaven to earth
to show the way
from the earth to the cross.
My debt to pay
from the cross to the grave,
from the grave.
The sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. One of our deacons are going to pray God's blessing over the bread and the wine.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you care for each one of us so dearly. That you care for us. It doesn't matter what background we come from. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. Lord, that you came and sacrificed yourself for each and every one of us. And Lord, that you want that wonderful relationship with each and every one of us. So Lord, we just ask you to bless the bread and the wine this morning as we celebrate that love that you show for us, which is totally unconditional. We just thank you. In your glorious name, amen.
Amen. As we partake of this sacred meal, we're reminded this morning that our salvation is only made possible because of a very special sacrifice that was made possible through Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself on the cross. For our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions. As we eat of the bread and we drink from the cup this morning, we're reminded afresh that our salvation is not because of our good works. We cannot work our way to salvation, but Jesus sacrificed his life for you and for me so that we can have a relationship with God. Are you grateful for that? I'm so grateful for that. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've given your life to him, then you are welcome to partake of this meal. If you've not yet given your life to Jesus, then we would lovingly encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen? Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his friends, disciples of the Lord Jesus, after supper, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us on the cross of Calvary, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there. It was there. By faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Yes, at the cross. At the cross, thank you, Jesus, where I first, and the burdens of my heart, rolled away. It was there, it was there. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. One more time from the top. At the cross.
At the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
At the cross.
Where I first. And the burdens of my heart.
At the burdens of my heart.
Rolled away. It was there.
It was there. By faith. I received my sight.
And now
I am happy all the day.
Thank you. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Church, in like manner, he then took the cup and he said these blessed words: "This cup will now be the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that wonderful promise that Jesus Christ will one day make his return. Amen. As you are now served, church, what represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, please do retain your cups, and then we will pause and then we'll drink together as a sign of our Christian unity. That's through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah put it this way, that the human race, all of us, are likened to sheep, and we've all gone astray. Each one has turned to their own different ways, but God laid upon his Son, Jesus Christ, the sins of us all. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, that the correction of our peace was upon the shoulders of Jesus, and with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Isn't that good news? Let's drink together the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that after they had partaken, they sang a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives, and we're going to continue in worship and praise unto God. Amen.
The children, we are going to sing a hymn. We're going to remain seated and sing a couple of verses. of a good oldie. But while we do that, if the children could go out to their groups, we're gonna sit and sing "All to Jesus I Surrender." Prayers to God as we surrender all to Him. Father God, we do thank You that we can bring everything to You. And Lord, there's nothing too dark or too difficult for You to answer. And Lord, we do pray for those who need a real touch from You. Father, we pray for the lost of Sittingbourne. Father, we ask that You would draw them through the doors. Lord, we pray that they would go through the doors of any of the churches in this town. And we want to see Your revival coming down the high street. Father God, we do ask too that You would bring a blessing to those from our family here, our extended family, who are not so well at the moment. Lord, we ask that You would heal them. Lord, that You would strengthen and replace things that perhaps they're missing. Lord, we know that You knit us together and You make us whole. Father, we pray that for each one who's struggling at the moment, physically or mentally or spiritually, that You would make them whole. And Father, we look outside further afield, and Lord, we do pray for our world. Lord, we pray for those who govern, and Lord, we ask that You would work a miracle with some of the things that are going on at the moment. Lord, You brought chaos to the original world, and you brought chaos into order. Lord, You made everything out of nothing. And Father, when we look around and we see how chaotic and how nothing is going the way that it should go, we bring it to You, Lord. We know that by Your great love, that You will heal this world. Lord, we know that You love every person who lives on the world. And Lord, we pray that You will intervene. Father, we pray that we would be faithful and we would continue to pray to You and bring things to You. Lord, we pray that each day You would speak into our lives. Father, that You would guide us to people that we need to bring Your message to. Lord, that You would guide us to greater knowledge and greater depth as we become disciples of You. So Lord, we bring all these things, and the unspoken things, the things that we have anxiety about in our hearts, Lord, we know that we can bring them to You. And we do it all in Your great name. Amen. Nathan's going to come and speak to us in a second, but we're going to sing one more song. Please do stand or sit. It's a reflective song. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand.
Presence of our great God, and good morning to you all once again. It's good to see you this morning, and I pray that you will just continue to bask in the presence of God. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've made, and we thank you again for another opportunity that by your grace we can sit at your feet to listen to you, to hear you speaking to us, to allow you to minister to our hearts. So we pray for this moment, Lord. We don't take it lightly. And we ask, Lord, that you would anoint me afresh, because I am just a servant and this is your word. And I pray that you will give me the power and the unction to preach boldly and to proclaim your gospel, that souls will be saved, that lives will be transformed, and that your church will be edified. So, Lord, we just look to you now. Hide me behind the cross and allow your people to see you, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are drawing our sermon series, our first sermon series of the year, to a close. And we have been talking about that the theme has been under construction in 2026. And the whole theme so far this year has been about discipleship and spiritual growth, because we know that the Lord is interested in our spiritual growth, isn't he? He wants us to grow from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And we're going to draw this series to a close now, and I'm going to ask quite an intriguing question this morning. as we're continuing this theme about spiritual growth, about discipleship, about our sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus. But we're going to put a little pin here this morning on something that's quite intriguing. And we're going to come to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. And it reads like this, from Luke chapter 18, verse number 9 to 14. And it says this: to some who were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everyone else. You see that? They were confident in their own righteousness. In other words, they felt, as we've been talking about spiritual growth this year, they felt that they were at the top of the ladder. They thought, oh yeah, we've arrived. They were called the Pharisees. They were confident in their own self-righteousness. So Jesus told this parable to try and get through to them, but also to warn his disciples about this self-righteous attitude and spirit. He says this in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. In verse 12, he goes on to say, this is his prayer, you know, this is what he says. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. This is the tax collector's prayer now. He would not even look up to heaven. He was so ashamed. But he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Verse 14, our final verse says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. We're going to break down this justified word in just a moment. He went home justified. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Two men went to prayer. One man beat his own chest, pumped it out, was saying that, listen, I'm not like these other people around here. I'm not like these evildoers, these sinful people. Nah, I'm not like them. Yeah, I fast on a regular basis. I pay my tithes. Yeah, I'm all that and a bag of chips. And the other one was a tax collector. If anyone knows about tax collectors in Jesus' day, they were viewed in a very negative light. They were not respected in their community. They were not trusted. They had a very bad reputation. But in sincerity, he looked to heaven and he said, well, he didn't even want to look up to heaven. He was that embarrassed. But he said simply, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, do you know whose prayers was answered? Not the Pharisee. Not the one who was doing good works. But the one who came with a sincere heart, he went home justified. I'm speaking today from this thought. Does your relationship with God eat religion for breakfast? Does your relationship with God eat religion for breakfast? I think I've told this story before, but as I was preparing for this message, I could not help but laugh in my study. As I was preparing, because I remember several years ago when I was in secondary school, I was known for being, I have to admit, quite a troublemaker in school, along with some of my friends, and particularly in maths class. We would act like absolute clowns in maths class. I mean, the teacher had no control over the class. That's how bad it was. We were acting a complete fool in maths class. I'm sure you're embarrassed of your minister right now. That was me. But on one occasion, it was interesting, as we were familiar going to maths class and we were just act a fool to the teacher, on this particular occasion, as we arrived for class as usual, we were introduced to a new maths teacher. Maybe we had run that old maths teacher out of the building because he was sick and tired of us acting a clown. So we were introduced to a brand new maths teacher. And to my surprise and dismay, I knew this new maths teacher. He, and still is today, a bivocational pastor and also a maths teacher. And he knew me. He knew my parents and you know, had a good relationship with us. And I had no idea that he would be the new maths teacher. But something happened, because as we were introduced to Reverend Ira Easington and he became our new maths teacher, my attitude changed just like that. I was now on time for class. I was now sitting at the front, alert, paying attention, listening, not clowning around anymore, not getting involved in what my friends were doing. And then something happened. My friends, they wanted to have a conversation with me. Nathan, what happened? What's the matter with you? We're having a good time. What's going on? Why the change? I had a change of heart. I had a change of attitude. I was now behaving myself. But my good behavior was not necessarily because I was doing the right thing out of a pure and sincere heart. But my transformation in that class was solely based on my connection and my relationship with the teacher. Because he had a relationship with my parents. And I didn't want him to go and tell my parents that your son, Nathan, is an absolute clown in maths class. The point here, church, is that there's a difference in all of our lives in just following Jesus or saying I'm a Christian and doing the right things that we think we should do as a Christian to be seen and praised by man, versus living the life out of love and devotion to God. And such was the case, church, right here at the scene of our text this morning. The problem in this short story and parable from Jesus was simply put that there is a big difference, a huge contrast in just appearing to be religious, displaying signs of religious behavior, not to glorify God, but to make one appear to be good, to look pious, to look holier than thou, to look the part, to flaunt one's self-righteousness and knowledge for the public eye, to be seen by others so that they can be impressed with our good works. And this was a major problem, church, for the Pharisees, this religious and political group in Jesus' day. They were so focused and bent on following the rules that had been laid out by Moses. And they were good rules for them to follow. But they also attached onto the God-given guidelines some oral traditions of man. They included some religious ideologies that they felt would be good for people to follow. They were not God guidelines. They were man-made rules and tradition. It reminds me, some years ago, when we used to go out evangelizing on the streets in South London, encouraging local gang members in that particular community, and young people who were out on the streets up to no good. And we would try to encourage them to come to church, come to our youth club, come to our youth services, come to our activities. And often, especially the young men that we would try and witness to, they would often have two questions for us as we would invite them to church. The first thing they would ask is, are there any girls there? True story. And the second thing they wanted to know, will there be any food? Are there any girls? And will there be some food? Because you can go to the right place and yes, even do the right things, but for the wrong reasons. So church, here on this final sermon of our spiritual growth series, although so far this year we have been talking about the importance of spiritual growth, and it is important. We've been talking about spiritual maturity. That is the will of God. We've been talking about striving for spiritual obedience to Christ. We should do that. All of those things are important. But I do believe we have to be careful and we have to be cautious that we don't become like the Pharisees. That we don't allow self-righteousness and pride to creep up in our hearts. That we don't allow spiritual growth and maturity and good works to make us become boastful, arrogant, and filled with pride. That we look down on others and degrade them. What's wrong with them? Why are they so evil? Why can't they get it right? Why are they so worldly? Why are they so full of sin? Why are they not doing the right things? Listen again to this man's prayer. In the message, it says this. The Pharisee posed and praised and prayed like this. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. He was in the temple looking at someone who was praying to God and saying, I'm so glad I'm not like you. How bad is that? His prayer turned into a public performance to tell the world, look at me. Look how good I am. It's just like even today, we live in a day and a time where everything has to be recorded on camera. It's almost like, and we see it even today on social media, when people are doing good works and, you know, want to give to charities and even want to help people, homeless people out on the streets. Instead of just giving to the poor and helping and just helping, you don't need to record it. No one needs to know. Now we're seeing people get their phones. Hey. Yeah, I'm giving, yeah. Hey, yeah. And post it on social media. We have to be careful with everything has to be recorded. Are we doing good works for public performance? Or are we serving the Lord not to be seen by others, but to glorify God? That's what Jesus told his disciples. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but not to glorify you. Not to point the finger at you and say, well done, but to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Jesus would also go on to say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So the Pharisees' prayer teaches us the danger of religious pretense and self-righteousness, doing things to be seen, doing things for self-praise and ego-stroking, versus doing the right things to glorify and honor God. But secondly this morning, not only do we see that there is some ego and some pride going on here in this man's prayer, but secondly, here's the solution this morning. We learned this from the second man's prayer, the tax collector, we learned that the solution is, let's keep it 100 with God. That's quite youthful language. What that means is, let's be transparent with God. Because he knows the real us. The young people will say today, keep it 100. You don't need to put on a show. You don't need to pretend that you are more holier than you are. You don't need to put on a performance, a religious theatrical performance, to impress others that you can pray the best, that you can preach the best, that you can look the best, that you can do the great things so people can pat the back, your back, and say you're good. But just be honest. Be honest with God. Because after all, he knows the real us. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And this is what I love about the tax collector. Although he had a bad reputation, although people despised him in his community, although they were known for defrauding people in their community, they would charge higher taxes required that were more so required than the Romans, and they would keep some for themselves. They had a bad reputation, but despite his bad reputation, he kept it 100 before God. He was transparent in his prayer. He says, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I've not always done the right things, God. Do you know what I've discovered? There are many people in this world, in this community of Sittingbourne, who desire to have a relationship with God. They desire to have a relationship with Jesus. Right now, they do. They desire it. They want it. But do you know what's holding them back? Do you know what's holding them back? A perception of what they think church really is. They have a warped perception of what they believe church is really all about. So they come to the estimation in their own minds that they won't fit in at church. They won't be able to fit in with the way that we do things in church. They don't believe they'll be good enough. They don't know if they will have the right words to say. They're scared of getting things wrong. They're afraid. They don't know if they will know all of the customs and the traditions that we have within the church. Yesterday I was attending a service at the Net Church for their grand opening. And the preacher said something so profound. He said this, do we build church for church people? Or do we build church to reach people? I've got to say it again. He said, do we build church for church people? In other words, our practices, our traditions, the things that we do, is it tailored for church people? For people who know the traditions, people who know the customs, people who know the Baptist way of doing things? But are we looking outwardly of the people who don't know nothing about a members meeting, who don't have no idea about voting? They don't have any idea about all of the traditions and customs that we espouse. They just want to have a relationship with God. They don't know about membership and all of these requirements. Can I get to know Jesus? And we have to be careful that we don't build the church in such a way that it becomes a repellent to people who don't have the traditions and the customs as we do. And the challenge is, church, if we build the church only for church people, for the ones who know the traditions, if we only build the church for church people, then we run the risk of the church evidently becoming relevant, irrelevant, no longer being relevant to the age and the generation that we're serving. That's why we have today some churches closing. Because the traditions and the customs were only tailored towards one specific generation. I know this is uncomfortable, but it's the reality. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was never meant for us to sign a membership form and say, I'm a member, I can vote, I can do this, I can do that, I have a say. But the challenge is, are we building the church to reach the community for Jesus, or are we just building the church for my likes and my preferences? We don't need to pretend or put on falsehood in our prayers. But the tax collector, I love him. He didn't have all the traditions like the Pharisee. He didn't have all the customs like the Pharisee. But he was sincere and honest. I'm a sinner. Here I am, Lord. Take me as you find me. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I've done wrong in my life. But here I am. Can I come into your kingdom? That is the message that we ought to preach in this day and age. That whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you've done in your life, you may not pass a DBS check, but you can come to know Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And even as a church, we have to be honest and transparent in telling our own stories. We used to be a drunkard. Come on, let's be honest. We used to sleep around for satisfaction. If you saw us some years ago, you would not recognize us. But for the grace of God, only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. There's some people in this church who used to be strung out on drugs. If they saw you when you were intoxicated, when you were under the influence, they wouldn't recognize you today. But for the grace of God. Some of us, our minds were far away from God. We weren't even able to comprehend that there was a God. We had no faith, no belief, no traditions of God. But yet still, the Lord found us. And he opened our hearts to the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know I like the old hymns. I'm so sorry. But that's why the old hymn writer put it this way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was very, very deeply stained with it. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. And from the waters, he lifted me. And now I'm safe. I'm safe in his presence. Is anyone glad that you're saved by the grace of God? Hallelujah. So we don't need to pretend. We don't have to impress people with fancy words, appearing to be religious, self-seeking. But we want to be God-pleasing, God-focused, and sincere, even if we're not there yet. It's okay. The Lord understands. He's not going to discard you. He loves you, and he wants to walk with you day by day. Here's the final one, and we're going to close. Here's the celebration. The religious leader put on a show, but the tax collector, I love this, he received justification. The Pharisee focused on performance and self-righteousness, but the tax collector received more than what he was asking for. Jesus said, the tax collector, although he was a sinner and a bad reputation, he went home, here it is, justified. Now, I need to break this down before we go tonight, today, because this is so important, and it's one that we often get wrong. If you were to attend a Bible college or a seminary, theological institution, you would do a unit which is called soteriology. Would you say that with me? Soteriology. That means the study of salvation. And there are two very important words that you would learn in that class in soteriology: sanctification and justification. The problem is we get them mixed up. We get them mixed up in our definitions. There is a clear distinction between sanctification and justification. Sanctification is the process by which we become closer to God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We don't become Christ-like overnight, but it's a process. It's a lifelong process. The Holy Spirit helps to prune us, to develop us. That's what discipleship is all about. growing closer and closer to the Lord, right? That's the process of sanctification. But justification is different. The best definition of justification is this: just as if I had never sinned. Oh, you're not excited about that. So when Jesus said that the man who was disconnected from God, bad reputation, a sinner, he went home not with sanctification, but he went home with what? Justification. Just as if he had never So we are saved, and this is why the Pharisee got it messed up. The Pharisees believed they were saved and justified through sanctification. They felt that by upholding the law, that by doing good works, that by paying their tithes, that by giving alms, that by praying out in public and fasting, that doing all of these good works, they're good works, you know, we should do them. But they felt that they were righteous in God's eyes by the works that they were doing. But we are not saved by our works. We're not saved by good sanctification, but we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That is the good news of the gospel. You see, sanctification is like walking up a very tall staircase, step by step, step by step, growing closer and closer to the image of Christ, Christ-likeness. But justification is not analogous to going up a tall staircase. Justification is analogous to the Lord himself coming down an elevator. And it's like the Lord coming down from the top level of the Shard building in London. And we are found at the very bottom, in the basement, in the dungeon, where it's dark and it's there's no light, no hope. And we couldn't get up to the higher level because our good works can't save us. So God laid upon his son Jesus Christ, and he came down to the lower level to pick us up and take us to that higher level in him. So in closing this morning, let's keep it 100 with God. Let's be transparent. All of us, there's not a perfect person in this room, but like the tax collector, if we're honest before God, then we can receive justification. Religion tells us, I go to church. Religion says, I used to go to Sunday school when I was a kid. Religion says, I was christened as a baby. Religion says my grandma was a Christian. Religion says I used to go to a Christian school. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it's possible, church, to do all of those things out of mere religion. And like the Pharisee, we do those things just to tick boxes. But having a relationship with Jesus, a relationship is so much more than just I do, I don't. It's not a list of do's and don'ts with Jesus. But when we have a relationship with him, we can say, I am walking with Jesus. I am trusting in Jesus. I am, here it is, committed to Jesus. I am devoted to Jesus, and I serve him not to be seen by others, but I serve him because I love him. Yeah. It's just like a human relationship. For those of you who are married here or in a relationship, you're with your partner out of love, not out of religion. How sad would it be if you only talk to your partner because you have to? You only spend time with your partner because you have to. But love, a loving relationship says, I want to spend time with you because I love you. I enjoy your company. I enjoy spending time with you. You are the love of my life. You're the apple of my eye. God, Valentine's Day is soon. Where's my wife? She's gone. We're finished. I'm going to pray, but I want to pray for anyone today. As I was preparing this message this week, I sensed in my heart that maybe there's someone like the tax collector who feels, man, I'm just in a bad place right now. I feel embarrassed. I feel like I don't even want to come to church because I feel like people are looking at me. I just don't feel in a good place. I'm here to encourage you that like the tax collector, when you pray, when you worship, don't worry about what people say about you. It's an audience of one. It's between you and God. And just like the tax collector, if we come to him with an open and a transparent heart, we can receive justification. Amen. Just as if we had never sinned. He wipes the slate clean. It's like going to a fancy restaurant and you have a lovely 5-course meal. And at the end they say, nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. I'm here to encourage you. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you took me in a different direction. I didn't even get through all of what I was going to say. But I thank you. I pray that your word went forth, Lord, with clarity today. As we close this first sermon series of the year, Lord, we do pray that we can have a closer walk with you. We do want to do the right things. We do want to do good works, but not out of religion, not as a tick box exercise, not to impress others, but we want to do the right things because we love you, because we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So I pray today, if anyone's struggling like the tax collector, because of things they've done, struggling because they feel like they're in a poor spiritual condition, thank you that because of your grace and because of your love, if we open our hearts to you, if we're honest before you, if we keep it 100, if we're transparent, then you will not despise us. We thank you. Although we can stray away from you, you will never stray away from us. You will never leave nor forsake us. So we thank you that even now, as we just give you those things in our hearts, Lord, that we know have become a stumbling block, that we know have become a barrier between having that vibrant relationship with you. We pray that we'll give them to you now. Let us not go home with them. Let us surrender them to you now. All to Jesus we surrender. All to him we freely give. Thank you that we can receive justification even now. The gospel is available today. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, who feels unworthy, thank you that just like the tax collector, we can receive justification today. Just as if we had never sinned. The slate has been wiped clean through Jesus and his love. So we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. To God be the glory. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back and we're going to prepare to close the service. But I believe it's very fitting today as we have, by the help of the Lord, proclaimed the gospel, the good news of Jesus. If there's anyone here today that wants to leave justified, you can receive justification today. If you admit that you're a sinner, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, if you confess him as Lord and Savior, then you today can be saved and you can receive justification just as if you've never sinned. Is there anyone here today that wants to accept Christ? Is there? I missed you last week, didn't I? I'm so sorry, Paulie. I was told, yes, I didn't see. Yes, amen. To God be the glory. Amen. So we have Pauline. Pauline put her hand up last week, but I didn't see her. So I missed her. And we had, where's Sarah? Is Sarah here? Sarah's at the back. She put her hand up last week. She's starting her relationship with the Lord. We thank God for her. Aren't we grateful for these souls being saved? Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Remind me of your name. Sean, that's it. Sean is the grandson of Christine Young. Some of you remember Christine Young, member of our church. She hasn't been here for a long while. She's in a home now. And this is Christine Young's grandson. So she will be so happy. Amen. The amount of times Christine has shared with me when we visited her, I'm praying for my grandson. I want him to be saved. So thank God for you, Sean. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for these dear ones. Let's pray for them now. Lord, thank you so much that salvation is in this house. Thank you so much for a praying grandmother who has been praying for many years for her grandson. And now today he wants to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. We celebrate with heaven. We thank you so much. And I pray that you would just open his heart now. Fill him with your presence, with the Holy Spirit, that he may walk in the newness of life. And we thank you also for Pauline. Thank you for what you're doing in her life. We thank you for her heart that wants to serve Jesus Christ. And we pray likewise that she, Lord, would be filled with your Holy Spirit to walk in the way of Jesus Christ. We thank you last week for Sarah, who is here today. And we thank you for what you're doing in this house. And we pray for our community that many more will come to know you this year, to know you as their Savior and Lord, that they can receive justification just as if they had never sinned. We thank you now and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
We are going to close our service with a hymn. And one of the verses says, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee. So let's stand and sing together, and can it be?
teas and coffees and a chance to catch up with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If it's your first time with us or if you're a visitor, please don't rush off. We would love to shake your hand and let you know how much we appreciate you being with us today. I'll be on the door as we go out, so it'll be great to shake your hand and to just thank you for being with us today. Amen. Let's go home and let's go home sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the great God, that we don't have to pretend, we don't have to put on a show. But from the sincerity of our hearts, if we open our hearts to him, he will come into our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this service. We thank you so much for your gospel and your good news that's been shared today. And for those who have opened their hearts to you to walk in the newness of life that's only made possible not through human good works, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that now as they begin this process of sanctification, of discipleship and spiritual growth, that's not what saves them. But as we grow closer to you each day, we want to have that vibrant walk and we want to be on fire for you each and every day. So as we leave this place now, but that never depart from your presence until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you. God bless you.
What are we doing? Who our Lord could save themselves? Appropriate.
When our hearts were far away,
there. We got there. No. I thought, oh, I'm locking this right in the way. There we are. Yeah,